Wonderful. So let's begin. The question we want to discuss this week is, is there a problem if you speak Lashon Hara and no one else is around? Like if a tree falls in the forest, is there anybody there to hear? So is there a problem in inherently speaking negative words when no one else is there? And this will have an afkamin, a practical halakhic implication regarding journaling or diaries. Can a person write Lashon Hara in a journal or diary even though there's a chance that no one will ever see it? And is there something negative? Is there a bad midah? Is there something disgusting about just expressing these negative feelings, excluding the issue of toeles, and it might be comforting for someone, or psychological things like that? Putting that on the side, is there a problem speaking Lashon Hara to the wall, as the post discussed? No one else is there, just saying negative things. So there's a tshuva about this. We don't have it over here, because it's long. I'll just tell you what it says outside. It's the Oz Nidberu. So Rav Zilber, who's a Rav in Bnei Brak, he writes in the 14th volume, in Simen Samech Vav of his Tshuvos, he says that if you know that a person is listening while you're speaking Lashon Hara to yourself, it is certainly Aser. That's for sure, right? You walk into a room, you know that someone is listening, and you say, ugh, I am his messy handwriting, so then that would be Lashon Hara. If you know that someone is listening, even though they're not right in front of you. Then he says, even if you don't know that someone is there, you still have violated the Aser of Lashon Hara. And he says, this is Shia, it's being posheya, you're being negligent, because maybe there's a chance that someone may be coming in or somewhere, even if you're in a cave, maybe 1,000 feet down, maybe another person's coming into the cave, and he says it would be Shia, it would be negligent to speak Lashon Hara, even if another person is not around. And this falls under the principle of Adam Mu'ad La'olam. In Halacha, when it comes to laws of damages, we say that a person is always negligent. He's always held responsible for his actions. And this is when it comes to damages. So because a person should have a self-awareness of where he is and his body space, and the guy is, spinning around in circles in the middle of the street, and he hits someone in the face, so he's mu'ad olam. Every single thing he does, he needs to be aware of what he's doing and what's going on around him, and therefore, this would be negligent for a person to speak Lashon Hara, even if no one in his vicinity, according to his basic understanding of where he is at this point in time. That is a very big chiddush. That is a novel idea. It's a very big chumrah. So comes along in the back of the Oz Nidberu, there are comments. Rav Zilber, the way he worked is that he wrote Svarim, and people wrote questions back to him about that sefer, and then the next sefer, he would discuss the responses to it, and he built up a library of almost 20 volumes based on people responding to the previous books, and that's how the collection grew. So in the bottom, in the back of this volume, he has Ha'aros comments that were sent regarding this issue from Rav Moshe Kaufman. Rav Moshe Kaufman is actually now the commentary on a sefer of the Chafetz Chaim called Nesivos Chaim, and his comments were collected in another sefer. So he is obviously someone who engages and speaks about the laws of Lashon Hara, not speaks Lashon Hara, but speaks about the laws of Lashon Hara. So he wrote to Rav Zilber and said, what are you talking about? That's crazy. A person's sitting in his room and you lock all the doors and no one can come in and you're going to tell me you can't speak Lashon Hara? Who are you harming? What are you doing? That's a crazy thing to say. He says, the Torah says, Lo seleich rachiel ba'amecha. You shall not peddle Lashon Hara amongst other people. The whole problem Lashon Hara is if it is ba'amecha, if you're spreading it to other people around you. So if you're standing simply alone in your room, who's amecha? Who are you spreading it to? And he says it cannot be the case. If you're simply speaking, you don't know that someone is listening, it cannot actually be rechilas. Now, this touches on another point. Can you speak Lashon Hara to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's not a mecha. No one else is around. Can you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to tell you some juicy gossip. Chaim has the worst handwriting in the entire world. It's terrible. Cannot make a letter L for his life. So is that Lashon Hara? So we seemingly would have a problem with this because the Pasuk says in Shmos, in Perek Dal Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Hashlichehu Arza, and Hashem told Moshe to throw the staff to the ground, Vayishlichehu Arza Vayilanachash, Vayanas Moshe Mipanav, and Moshe had to run away from the snake. Why did it turn into a snake, says Rashi? Remezlo Shesipar Lashon Hara Al Yisrael V'tafas Umnaso Shanachas. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon Hara about clients, so when he said they're not good, they're not going to get out. So we see that even to speak Lashon Hara to Hashem is a problem. We see from the pasuk with Moshe, and the next pasuk in pasuk Vav, the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem Lo Od Haveina Yadcha Bechekecha V'yevei Lo Od Bechekecha V'yotzia V'hinei Yado Mitzoras Kesheleg. And Moshe put his hand into his shirt and he pulled it out, and poof, a magic trick, it turned white. Comes Rashi and says, Derech Tzaras Levana. This is Tzaras. That's why it turned twice. Im Beharis Levana Hi. When Moshe said, "Lo yaminu li," they're not going to believe in me. Lefichach hilkuhu b'tzaras, Hashem struck him with tzaras. Kamo shelaks Miriam alashon hara, just like Miriam was struck with lashon hara, with tzaras with her lashon hara. So we see another proof as well that you cannot speak lashon hara about another Jew to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Person can't say, "Kaddish Baruch Hu, I have such juicy lashon hara to say." It's aser. We see from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Bir Mayim Chaim, in the end of Klal Aleph, Mimash Matzina Bishayahu, Yishayahu Hanavi, Keshomer Oili, Kinin Mesi Kish Tameis Fasai Manochi, I'm a man of impure lips, Ubisoch Am Tameis Fasai Manochi Yoshev. And I sit amongst a nation of people who also have impure lips and impure speech. So what do we see? And what happened with that? Yishai was punished for that terribly. And therefore, you cannot speak Lashon Hara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And the commentaries on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim discuss this and other aspects as well. Look in the Paris Yosef, Parshas Baloscha, he expands upon this issue of speaking Lashon Hara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can we learn from the mice of Miriam, though? When Miriam said what she said, was anyone around when she said it? Or did she say it to Aaron? So that seems to be unclear. Let's look here. There's a comment of the Sifri in Parshas Baloscha, in Pisket Tzadi Tes. It's quoted again in the Alkut Shimoni and again in the Malachim as well. The Sifri says, "Vahare dvarim kal v'chomer ma Miriam shalonis kabna l'daber ba'achia l'gnai." Miriam, who did not have intention to speak about her brother negatively, ela l'shvach, she was praising him. Oh, he's such a tzaddik. V'lo l'mad b'pirvirivya ela l'rabos uveina l'bein atzma. And she spoke between her and herself, says the Sifri. Kach nansha hamiskavein. We see Miriam was punished, and there was no one else around. Does this teach us that it's usher to speak Lashon Hara when no one is around? So comes Rav David Pardo. Rav David Pardo is one of the great Sfardi Gedolim, and he has a commentary on the Tosefta called the Divrei Sifrei Debei, on the Sifri called the Sifrei Debei Rav, and he writes, Lav Dafka, Ela Klomar Shalo Dibra Birabim Ela Im Achia Bilvad. It was not simply that she was speaking and no one was around. She locked herself in a room and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he should really stay with his wife. That's not what happened. The Sifri means that she was talking with her brother. There's another comment in the Piska, in the Sifri in Dvarim, in Piska Aleph, and this is cited by the Chafetz Chaim. It writes, Davar Acher, Ma Miriam, Kishimidabra, Davar, Lo Shama Kol Bria. No one heard what Miriam said. Allah hamakom bevad, only a Kaddish Baruch Hu, ke'inyan shne'amar, v'yishma Hashem kach ne'en shah ha'medaber b'gnusha shal chaver b'rama alachas kama v'kama. How much more so if you speak Lashon Hara to someone else who is there? So we could learn from here. Maybe it's also to speak Lashon Hara when no one else is around. Lo shama kol bria, no one else heard it. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and the Chafetz Chaim in the Ber Mayim Chaim and Klal Gimel and Sifkat and Vavin says, v'hoel dibur b'fnei Aaron. It's clear that it means that she was talking to Aaron. And he writes again in the Ber Mayim Chaim and Klal, hey shalom dibru davar zeh b'fnei shembria, that they did not speak one to another. So we'll put Miriam on the side. There's no proof one way or another whether Miriam can teach us about speaking Lashon Hara when no one is around. Let's turn halacha lemaisa, practical halacha in this regard. So the Maharal has a commentary in the Gemara in Ksuvis, and the Maharal tells us something very important, the difference between Lashon Hara and Nivul Peh. And he writes as follows, V'yesh l'chaliros, ha-hefresh asher yesh bein Lashon Hara u'bein Nivul Peh. There's a difference between Lashon Hara and Nivul Peh. Sometimes we use the expression nivel peh improperly. We think nivel peh is if a person uses a curse word or says a bad word. He says differently. He says, Ki lashon hara hu mitzad shemadaber b'chaveiro vein etzem hadibur ra rak shiomar leploni asa davar zeh. You're not just saying bad words. Nivel peh is bad words, inappropriate language. Lashon hara, a person can speak lashon hara and not use a single word that you would not say to your mother. It would be totally fine. You don't have to use bad words to speak Lashon Hara. V'nikra Lashon Hara ki chetz shachut l'shonam aval nivlus peh hu al dibur atzmo. So the Maharal says that when it comes to nivul peh, it's the very speaking of inappropriate manners. But Lashon Hara is only a problem if someone else is there to hear it. By definition, Lashon Hara means someone has to be there to receive it. There's a general category understanding when it comes to nivul peh in general, outside of this discussion, but nivul peh really, according to the Gemara, is using language dealing with intimate matters between husband and wife. That's inappropriate to talk about in public. To use simply a curse word or not nice word that a perhaps a truck driver might use, or a sailor. So something like that. So that is not nivul peh. That might be a lack of lashon nikiya, having refined language. But nivul peh is something specific that has its own inappropriate aspect to it. And this is the understanding, as we said before, from Rav Zilber in the Oz Nidbru. There is a piece from Rav Yaakov Kahan. Rav Yaakov Kahan was one of the Gedolim in the 18th century, and he has Tshuvos Sheiris Yaakov in Evan Ezer Simon Ches. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the context of the Tshuva. He has a footnote, which is totally, the footnote is important for us, and the rest of the Tshuva is totally irrelevant. So it's not important to know what the Tshuva is about, but listen to what he writes here in the footnote. He says, Kedoshim b'chol inyanim. We need to be holy in every aspect. In our speech, our thoughts, and our actions. We need to be excellent in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not proper to simply follow your heart's desires, even if you're by yourself. Not even to say anything asr about another person. Bo re'e masha asr lanu ha-Torah. Look at what the Torah prohibits for us. Lo tekal al-chirish. You should not curse someone who is deaf, who cannot hear it. And then he writes, u'mahaytayma amarti afilim ye adam yechidi. Even if a person is alone, heim b'bayis heim b'sada, if in your house in the field, in ishimo, im kol zeh, regardless if you're alone. Asr lo l'navel piv midvar masum, one cannot profane and ruin his speech with something that is asr. Kagon lashon hara. So says the Sheiris Yaakov halach lamaisa. You can't speak lashon hara even if no one else is around. Urechilos v'klos v'shvuos, curses and afilu devarim betelim, even things that don't have any impact. Asurim heimalo ki kozesh adam chayil adam mochrach, as long as Hashem allows your heart to beat on this earth and you still have a life, mochrachu l'kashet atzmo mikol davar miyos maguna. You are responsible to make sure that nothing negative or disgusting comes out of your mouth. And therefore the Sheiris Yaakov says a huge chiddush. He says a huge chiddush, that is, that even if no one else is around, it's us to speak lashon hara. Now, I'm going to tell you that Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Kaf HaChaim, a major Sfardi yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he has a lot of Sfarim. He has over 70 Sfarim he has written, and he writes in the Menucha Shalom and Chelik Yud Beis and Simon Ayin Tes. He cites the Sheiris Yaakov and says, this is a very big Chiddush, and this is not Halacha L'Maaseh, and nobody holds like this. And it comes out that it would seem very clear that one would be allowed to speak Lashon Hara if no one else is around. So if you want to lock yourself in the room, go into a classroom, close the door, and just rip, go to town and say terrible things about everybody else, it would be mutter, since no one there is available to listen. But he leaves as a tzarachin, but I think it would come out, this would be practical halacha, there's no problem with Lashon Hara if no one else is around. Now, let's turn now to the issue of journaling and diaries. So what would be the halacha regarding writing Lashon Hara in a journal? So just to quote from the Chafetz Chaim in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, he writes at the end of the last line here, we'll just look at the last line, he says, V'achinam ikenu ilu lo hayu shomim menu lo hayu medaber al hakir. If you're talking to the wall, says the Chafetz Chaim, seemingly be fine, there has to be other people around. So there are a lot of Torah journals in the world nowadays. People like to collect different ideas, and they put out monthly or weekly or biannually or annually Torah journals on different topics. So there's a Torah journal called the Kovetz Marpe Lashon. It's all about topics in Lashon Hara. Not so many have come out, but it's all about different topics in Lashon Hara. So he writes in the second volume on page 64, and he cites Rav Shmuel Hamaner. Rav Shmuel Hamaner was one of the great Gedolim of Yerushalayim probably two or three generations ago. And he was known to be a great tzaddik. He wrote a whole parish on Tanakh, dealing with Amunah. He has a small volume that sometimes is popular called the Sefer HaBitachon. It's like a small volume you can put in your pocket, all about all the sources in Chazal and the Torah about Bitachon. You open it up, you read a few lines, get a little chizuk, a very, very big tzaddik. He wrote the question to a famous Shaila to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There's a Shaila in the Mincha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, from Shmuel Hamaner about what is the bracha we're going to make when Mashiach comes? He was so in tune and aware that Mashiach is going to come. It was so real to him that he wrote an actual shayla. We write a shayla, you know, can I use this on Shabbos? The spoon fell into the pot and is it mefleshik or melchek? His shayla was, Mashiach is going to come. What bracha am I going to make? And he has a whole din. Maybe it should be a bracha. Should Shachianu come before the bracha of Shechalach Chachasol L'Reyev? You make it a tamachach. Maybe it's the bracha on a king. And he has a whole shtickle Torah here. And he asked for Shlomo Zalman Aruch, what am I supposed to do when Mashiach comes? A big tzaddik. So he heard, this author heard from a Shmuel Hamaner, who felt that it was better to write people's names Beroshe Tevos, only using their initials if you write in a diary or in a journal, because the possibility was that maybe someone will read your diary at some point in time, and they're going to see, oh my gosh, look at this terrible thing that we found about this person. Therefore he said, when you write diaries or journals, it should always be with Roshe Tevos, only initials and nothing else. And he says, maybe this is an issue of holding a grudge. It might depend on the way it's written. If you're writing it because you hate the person, you hate their guts, and you just want to write terrible things about them, so that might be a problem of holding a grudge. But if you're writing it in a therapeutic way, which for many people, the diaries and journals are a form of therapy, which they let their feelings be felt and they express them without hurting anybody else, so it certainly would be fine. And then the author writes that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agreed with this as well, that if you want to write in a journal and you want to use Roshei Tevos, that would be certainly be fine. There are, we have in history, a number of Rabbanim who wrote journals, and they've been recovered and printed in a very public manner, and we know all of their personal thoughts about certain people and certain communities where they lived. For the famous one is the Aderes, Rav Elio David Tumim, Rav Cook's father-in-law, had a diary called the Nefesh David that was published, and I think he actually asked them to publish it. I think that's the story. He asked them to publish it, but we know what he thought about this one, and he thought when he was the rabbi in this community, and what he thought about this shul over here. We have the whole thing. The Aderes gave us the whole picture about what he thought about them and how they treated him bad over here. So sometimes, if you're not careful, the journal and the diary will be published, and you're going to have everything out there for everyone to know. Let's look now in a contemporary posek, Rav Nissim Kareltz. Rav Nissim Kareltz is one of the great poskim gaonim. He has a very respected based in Bnei Brak. And his sfarim are called Chut Hashani. And he has a sefer Chut Hashani on the Moadim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And because this has to do with the aspect of tshuva at the end, he has a small piece on the laws of Lashon Hara, since that's connected to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he writes here on the laws of Shmiras HaLashon on page Shin Lamed Vav. He says, V'chein HaKosev La'atzmo Koros Chaim O Yomanim. One who writes the events of his life or journals, I once saw, there was a piece on 60 Minutes once, a number of years ago, about a gentleman who wrote a diary for every single day of his life. But not just like, I went to the store and I bought milk. He recorded every single place he went and did and saw, and I went over here and I met this person. Every single thing. He diaried every single thing he did, and in his basement he had stacks of bookcases with journals going back like 50, 60 years. He had this crazy project. He could open up to any day and see anything. It's interesting. I don't know what the long-term benefit is. It's very interesting, maybe boring thing for your children to read or other people to read. But a guy journaled not just like his feelings, but every single thing he did every single day. And he had a huge basement filled with stacks and stacks of journals. So we could do such a thing, but not for normal people. He says, V'kosev behem gam divrei genai alachim. And he writes negative things about other people. Ukvar avers man rav. And a long time passes, mizman ksivasam, from the time he wrote it. Ukvar shachach mikol mashakasav sham. And he forgot what happened. Maybe you're this guy who wrote everything down in a journal for 50 years, and now he goes back to June 7th, 1965, and he opens up and he says, oh my gosh, I forgot that I hated this person's guts. And he reads the Lashon Hara he wrote. So he wants to know, is that Lashon Hara? He says, mutalo al pi din lekro shuv mashu hu atzmo kasav, lahazkel atzmo nishkachos. You're allowed to read the Lashon Hara you wrote about somebody else that you forgot. De'ein ze shma shav, aval acherim as, because that's, you already knew that. It's not, you're not revealing something that you were unaware of. And therefore he says, that's not Lashon Hara. But for other people, aval achirim, asur lekro behem, tavi shma shav. You cannot read other people's diaries. There's other issues that as well. The chirim of Ibn Gershom, to read other people's mail and personal things. That's another discussion. But kamosha asur lekro Lashon Hara, shukasu alav. You can't read Lashon Hara, and that's what a person did in the diary. You can't read other people's diaries. That's certainly asur. But for you to read your own diary of Lashon Hara you wrote somebody else years ago, says Nissen Kreltz, it's fine. It would come at halach lamaisa, that if a person needs a therapeutic way in order to, you know, deal with issues or to discuss things or things in their life or people that are upsetting them, so one is certainly allowed to journal Lashon Hara and make sure it is kept up tight with a lock under password protected so somebody else reads it. But if one needs to journal Lashon Hara, to diary about Lashon Hara, then it would be allowed. And a person still, at the same time, needs to be careful about how it's going to get out and how it may be perceived. But for therapeutic reasons, since it's clear from the Maharal and Rav Moshe Kaufman, and they give a very strong argument, it's very hard to say Lo Selech Achil Ba'amecha would apply if there's no Amecha around, and it's just you and yourself. Okay.